What's up, everybody? I'm Stu with the Digital Real Estate Company. And today, I'm going to give you a live case study as to how I would expand into an additional location, a third location, if I was the boutique fitness brand Core 704 located here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, for those of you that follow the WTF Gym Talk podcast of mine, do not get Core 704 confused with Core 24. It's a different gym model brand, different gym. It just sounds similar. The word core is pretty common in the fitness industry, right? So don't get them twisted. But this right here, this is Core 704. Core 704 is a boutique fitness. They started off, I believe, in a Pilates reformer type scenario. And they had a single location. And then they evolved and they added a climbing class as well. So if you're all familiar with a VersaClimber, awesome piece of equipment. So they added a core climber class and they have these two options inside of their south end location. So currently here in Charlotte, North Carolina, they have two locations right here. This is their 704 south end location. And then on the north side of the city, they have Core 704 in their NOTA location. Now, the NOTA location is a smaller facility because it's only housing one of the concepts. It is just the Pilates concept, not the climber concept. And if you go look, this is where their 704, their NOTA location, north side of the city is. They're in this 101 location right here, and it's about 1,700 square feet. And this is relatively new, brand new development. I mean, they've got all this great stuff. The new Metabolic is right across the street from them. There's a Nine Rounds down here. So really good area for both locations. But I'm going to pretend as if Chase and Kate Colston, who are the founders of Husband Wife Domination, as if they contacted me and say, Stu, we want the Gym Real Estate Company to help us find a third location. And we want to make sure that this third location is where our core customer, no pun intended, our core customer is located. And I'm going to show you exactly how the Gym Real Estate Company is able to do this for any fitness brand, studio, gym in the US. So first thing we do is we go ahead and we grab the addresses of their two locations. So if you guys can see here in the map, I've got both locations here, the north and the south location. Now these colorful polygons, all right, I'm going to go ahead and zoom in here just a little bit, make it easier for you guys to see this. And the software suite I'm using here is what we use to create a site suitability analysis for any brand we're working with. And all site suitability is fancy language for, am I picking a location, a property, a suite, a building that is going to be centered around where my core customer lives, works, and plays? Is it going to be the right site for me? Is it within my budget? Does it have the operational capacity I need as a studio and gym owner? Does it have the amenities I need as well? So all these various aspects go into our analysis of a potential site, and then we're able to turn around and provide to them the best sites in the city that where their core customer is located and has all the amenities and features and details they want in a location that they're about to sign a lease for an extended period of time. Now, these little polygons that you're seeing here, you see a red one and a purple one. These are trade area. A trade area is just, where do my customers live? And these polygons, so for example, this is the North NOTA location. This polygon represents the trade area where the majority of their customers come from. And I ran this report based on the past year of individuals who have come to the facility at least 12 times in the past calendar year. How do we know where these people come from? This software utilizes your cell phone. Your cell phone pings a satellite every 3 to 4 seconds. And software like this allows us to track where that cell phone goes. We're able to track where they go to the grocery store, what school their kids go to, what are their favorite retail shops to go, what routes do they take to get there. I mean, we can get really kind of almost big brother creepy level with this. And for most small business owners, when we present this data to them at first, they're like, holy shit, that's pretty intense. But you go talk to any national franchise, this is every day. This is exactly how every large-scale franchise, the Orange Theories, the Metabolics, the F45s, the Barry's Bootcamps, this is how they choose locations for their next spot, even in a market that they're unfamiliar with. They look at analytical data, not only from psychographics and demographics, but also mobile traffic data from the cell phones as well. This gives me the trade area of the two locations, so I have an idea, and you can see the overlap. If you look in here, you're able to see that there is a good amount of overlap between these two locations. And we can even go and look at a a cannibalization rate, which these two locations have. And that's kind of how Charlotte is between those two districts. So in between what we call Noda and South End, right? There's the trade area that I was showing that overlap. And they've got an overlap here of about 13 square miles, a little almost 14 square miles. You know, there are some people in the Noda location who definitely would overlap into the South End and the South End over to the Noda. And I bet you when they open up to locate their second location, they probably experience people who were at the South End switching to go to the Noda and vice versa. So when we think of opening a third location, we want to open one somewhere where we're not going to cannibalize the other locations, but we're going to take advantage of an open market territory in which we won't mess with the traffic flow and the membership base at the other two. Now, when we're looking at this, I need to know who is Core 704's core customer. And if I want, I can get the anecdotal data from the gym, from the owners, from Chase and Kate Colston, but I like to rely on actual data. Now, the data that we're going to look at here today is about 75% accurate because we're tracking cell phones. And when you're doing cell phone mobile data analytics, you have to understand there is a level of error that's involved in this, especially because both of their locations are in multi-tenant buildings. So you have other businesses adjacent to them, and this data is going to potentially pick up the customer information from their adjacent neighbors, not necessarily just Core 704. So when I'm talking to a gym owner and I'm telling them, hey, this is the mobile data, this is probably about 75% accurate. I can dial that up to 99% accurate, but it just involves me working with the studio or the gym and getting a CSV file of their actual customer database, all previous and current customers, and then I can recreate this with 99% accuracy. But for right now, for this demonstration and case study, we're going to go through with the mobile data. Now, first thing we're able to go into, we're able to get demographic information of each location and get an idea of median household income, age, education, households with children, all that. But I'll be honest, I'm not that interested in demographics. Demographics do not equal buying actions. There can be people with exact carbon copy demographics that purchase differently. So what we like to go ahead and we like to look at is we like to go into buyer personas. And one of the ones that we choose, there's many different catalogs of companies that have classified all of us, me, you, everyone. Every mortgage payment you make, every credit card transaction you run, all your online ACH banking information, they are all categorized by the three big credit bureaus, Experian, TransFirst, or TransUnion, and Equifax. You're all probably familiar with them from your credit score. And they have gone ahead and categorized this into customer segment groups. And for any of you guys who want to look into this customer segmentation, go ahead and put into Google Experian Mosaic. That is one of the customer segmentation or buyer persona segments that we utilize. And it'll take you through this handbook. And essentially what they've done, they've taken all of us, everybody in the US, all of our buying patterns. You know, like Siri is listening to you when you're talking to anybody on your phone. Trust me, everyone, these credit bureaus, they're watching everything we buy. They are cross-referencing that with our demographic information, and they create these buyer personas. So they've created, I believe, 71 different buyer personas here. They give them all these, you know, little names and different categories. And then essentially, you can go and start looking at the characteristics of each one of these. Right. So the power elite, those are the wealthiest households in the US living in the most exclusive neighborhoods and enjoying all that life has to offer, age, household income, all that. So we're going to go ahead and see here. There's just tons of these. I mean, they break them all down. You can get really geeked out into the demographics and psychographics of these individuals. But we're going to go ahead and take a look at what Experian mosaics or buyer personas exist for Core 704. Which ones are coming in and out of their building, pinging that cell phone that allows us to trace them, identify them, and find where else they are in Charlotte, North Carolina for this hypothetical third location. All right, so we're back here. There are two locations. Those are the trade areas we looked at. And now we're going to look at the top three Experian mosaics for Core 704. And the three groups that they have identified are the singles and starters, which are young singles starting out in some starter families living a city lifestyle. Sounds exactly like Charlotte. Young city solos, younger and middle-aged singles living active and energetic lifestyles in metropolitan areas. And then the power elite, the wealthiest households in the U.S. So if you could see here in their South End location, about 32% of the customers going in and out of their South End location fall in this category. 24% of Young City Solos, and then about 20% of the Power Elite. And it's a pretty similar breakdown over here in NoDa, a little bit different. South End and NoDa are very similar, just South End has had about a decade head start in development than NoDa has. But these are the three groups. We're going to go ahead and we're going to search Charlotte and find out where should Core 704 open a third location if they want to be where these individuals live, work, and play. Well, I've already gone ahead and I've ran the report. I've done everything for this, and this is what we come up with. So we can see the two locations. Let me close this guy out and just hide it. It'll be easier to see. All right. So we all remember our trade area we were just looking at a little bit ago, right? Here's 704 NoDa. Down here, 704 South End. Now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to drop on the map those mosaics that we just looked at, the singles and starters, the Young City Solos, and the Power Elite. All right, so here we go. So just so you see the key here, everything in purple represents the Power Elite category. That's the segmentation, one of the stronger segmentation categories for the core customer for Core 704. And then everything in red is the Young City Solos. And everything in gray is the singles and starters. And we kind of zoom out a little bit here. What you can see is that the majority of their combined, this little trifecta of their core customer exists on the southeast side of the city. Now, remember, Core 704 already has a South End location, which is a like a metropolitan borough, very feels very city-like. A NoDa location, again, feels pretty city-like, but it's a northern borough. But if we were to look, you know, in areas that we would, you know, I would recommend for them to start looking, we're going to be looking in areas that, number one, are not going to cannibalize. Okay, so you can still see that trade area outline right up in through here. And we don't want to cannibalize these polygons. Like, see these polygons here? These are all clusters of where their customers currently live. We don't want to cannibalize it. So we're probably going to want to come down here and we'd probably be looking somewhere in this Oakhurst area. If you can see right here, it's called Oakhurst. That's in the red, but it's surrounded by a lot of gray and a lot of purple. We'd probably be looking over here into the Cotswold market as well. And we could even kick over even more into the South Park sector, which is more suburban here in Charlotte, which would be a deviation from their two existing. We'd have to have that conversation. They've been done a really good job in these urban dense neighborhoods. And if they move into a suburban market, we're definitely, we want to have a discussion with them about that. We have seen gyms and studios who have switched submarkets, meaning they've been really successful in urban submarkets, and then they go suburban and things don't pan out because they didn't adjust and make the adjustments for the marketing, the language, you know, the messaging, maybe even the pricing, the type of location they needed to have for the, you know, the soccer moms driving around in giant SUVs. But this would be kind of how we would start this process in discussing where in Charlotte would you have the highest likelihood to find a great site that is going to be around your core customer. Now, where we go from there is we can get real, you know, get real interesting and start hunting down specific areas and pulling listings of available properties for their third location. We're able to go in and start pulling averages of what's on the market right now. But this would be the starting point as to how I would recommend Core 704 in this hypothetical case. By the way, I never met Chase or his wife Kate at all. I've been in their studio in South End. I popped my head in there one time, but I'm literally just doing this on spec. I wanted to do a case study, and they were the I thought of them because I knew they had two locations here in Charlotte. So Chase and Kate, I hope you don't mind me doing this case study on you. This is where I would probably start the process of searching for them. Unless they had some other deep intuition of where they wanted to go, this would be the data-driven way I would look for a location. Unfortunately, a lot of small business owners make the mistake of, all right, I'm going to get on LoopNet and I'm just going to search based on square footage and how much I want to pay. And, oh, I don't know, there's a Whole Foods over there, so I bet you my location will be successful because rich people shop at Whole Foods. And we do this very ill-advised process as small business owners, generally independently owned, not a franchise. I've had the opportunity in my career to work in and see that franchise world and how the bigger corporate shops do this with multiple locations in the fitness industry all over the US. And everyone chooses their locations based on data, not based on some anecdotal, I think that area is going to be good because of X, Y, or Z. We do it based off data. And that's why you've seen some really successful brands open up, you know, a new location and do 300 plus in pre-sale. It's not because that they are, you know, they have incredible marketing and sales arm. That certainly helps. But it's because they will deliberate over their site selection for months and months to ensure they're getting into the right spot where their core customer lives, works, and plays. Exponential is a great example of this. You know, when they open up a, you know, a Club Pilates or a Fit or a Stretch Lab or any of their, you know, their concepts, they are so purposeful in their commercial real estate site selection. And that's what the gym real estate company is trying to bring to the small player, to the small business owner in the fitness industry that doesn't have the billions of dollars in, you know, like an Exponential or an Orange Theory has behind them, but still bring them the same services that those brands are getting. So, Core 704, anyone else watching this, if you're in the fitness industry and you need help leasing or purchasing commercial real estate, please shoot us a message. We'd love to work with you. I hope you guys found this case study at least somewhat insightful or interesting as to how this works behind the scenes. And until I talk to you guys in the next podcast, have a great day.